In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Two vehicles, two chaperones, a minivan packed with teenagers, and a truck that was full to the brim. We got on the road later than I had planned, and the storms were more constant than predicted. This was the biannual mystery trip, a trip where the adults and the parents knew where these middle schoolers were going, but the young teenage guests did not. I have to confess, we had a lot of fun, the adults and I. We would make accidental mentions of incorrect destinations. And we would offer packing lists that included items that they wouldn't need and keep them guessing. What location do you need a bathing suit and snow gloves for? There was a beloved trust that made that mystery trip work. Healthy relationships and the clear understanding that we were going somewhere. They were so convinced of their well-being that these New Mexico teens, who were well-traveled and pretty smart, they weren't paying very much attention to what direction we were going. When they asked me, "Jane, tell us where we're going," I would claim, "Oh, we're going to White Sands." White Sands National Monument is in the southern part of New Mexico, far south of Albuquerque, where we started. And my guess, they didn't read road signs that said so many miles to Pueblo and Denver. They didn't look at the directional light on the rearview mirror, which was a big green N. Nor did they notice the hills getting steeper and the trees getting taller. We were well into Colorado before any of my guests began to question my White Sands fibs. I still remember one saying, "Jane, this is a really long way to go to get to White Sands." I was the exact opposite of a prophet. I knew where we were going, I knew when we would get there, I knew what the plan was, and prophets, they don't know exact details like that. Prophets strive to speak divine truths, and I was deliberately misleading. In Hebrew, the common word for prophet is transliterated nabi. It signifies that a person is called to a boundary duty. The responsibility of a prophet is to speak across the divide, to name divine truth to earthly power. Prophets assume that there is a promise of loyalty that has been made between God and the people. And they stand in this boundary, speakers like Isaiah, these prophets communicate that what God sees is that people have not done as we have promised. We have chosen self-satisfaction over our pledge to be good neighbors. We have chosen a sheen of glitter and happiness that barely shrouds the fear and the jealousy we share. We have chosen to keep our heads down and our sources narrow. The beautiful thing about that mystery trip was the love and the trust. The scary thing was the inattentiveness and the self-centeredness and the numbness to everything beyond our tiny caravan. In the mass of wrongs and untruths that surround us, the word of God through prophets like Isaiah, it is pointing to the ultimate healing and hope. They are pointing to that ultimate healing and hope that much later in Christian theology we know as the promised reign of God. There is a dark storm of meanness and uncaring that makes promises of the reign of God seem very distant. I know it's not new. I know it's not all hype and distractions. That disturbing highway pullover of an interracial family of two priests last summer. Those are my friends. Cruel graffiti on churches, racist yelling on the commute, hateful notes left on windshields. These things are happening to your families, my friends, our neighbors. I've had a hard time breathing when I turn on the news. I turn the radio off more quickly than I used to. That promise of the reign of God, of a peaceful gathering in a holy Zion, it seems such a long, long way from here. So what do I do? What do I do in these moments of unbreathing? I remember the promise. I remember to breathe in God's promise. I refocus on gathering with the community. I refocus on prayer, and I refocus on broadening the course of my study. And in this gathering and praying and studying, the judgment that I am slowly hearing is this: I believe I have been like my teenage guests on that mystery trip. I have been so carefully tucked in a comfy space with people I know that I have become blind to the heartache and the storm and the misdirection right beside me. So today starts the beginning of Advent, and the Advent word, a day little ditty that goes on the internet and not. And today's word is shine. And Brother Almquist from the SSJE wrote this morning, this glimmer of hope for Advent. Rather than experiencing the sorrows of our world as a source of desolation, we should hear the news as a clarification for what we are to be about as followers of Jesus Christ, to bear the beams of God's love, to bear the beams of God's love and light and life, to bear them especially to those who wouldn't otherwise know it. The promise of God's love is that of a holy mother hen gathering her chicks under her wings. It's the promise of a refugee rescued to a safe boat on a stormy ocean. Advent is oriented to the final times and the final things and the final destination. And we are called to be gathered, to gather not for ourselves but for others, to be gathered now as then, all under that wing. We practice Advent, we practice prayers, and we practice studies, and we practice hymns because God's reign is already, but also so obviously not yet. We have a long, long way to go on this journey with Christ. We have many miles to watch the way that's before us and beside us and behind us and all around us. The prophets say, keep watch. Watch with and for Christ, that we may learn his ways of peace with justice. So scattered all around the nave this morning are new paper stars. I'm sure if you dig in the hymnals and under some pews, you will find old stars from Epiphany's past. Here today, though, are new stars, a symbol of the first Sunday of Advent, a symbol for the prophets like Isaiah, those holy people who stand between heaven and earth, who point to a twinkle in the sky and say, look, there is something important that we can barely imagine. From here, a star is just a pinprick of light. But if you could travel to it, you would find a bright, blazing sun. What prayer, what teaching, what judgment do these boundary-dwelling prophets bring to light in you? So at communion, we invite you to pick up one of these stars on your way up, hold it in prayer, and receive communion. And then when you head back, take it back to the baptismal font. Take it back with a whispered prayer for the hurt, a prayer for the numbness, a prayer for dissolving the meanness, or whatever questions you bring to God's enlightenment this Advent. You might recall that our mystery trip got off to a late start. We should have been to our destination before dusk, but we were running behind. And then there was this storm, a strange and otherworldly Rocky Mountain summer thunderstorm, breathtakingly beautiful and white-knuckled frightening at the same time. As we drove around curvy roads in heavy rain, a calm voice came from the back of the van. Jane, would you please just tell us where we are going? Tell us we are not going camping, and we are not sleeping on the ground out here in the middle of nowhere in this storm. I knew we were very close to our destination, and I knew that in the storm and in the dark, the time for telling the truth had come. Well, I said, I need you to hear this. We are going on a camping trip. We're almost there. In the truck in front of us is all of your camping gear, more than enough. Your parents have snuck it to me over the last few weeks. And yes, we are going camping. And we are going to be sleeping on the ground in tents. Tents that we have to set up in the dark and in the rain. Now, if this were a cheap fictional story, the response would have been weeping and cursing. We've all seen the sitcom version of this. But it wasn't a sitcom. It was a vessel that held a beloved community on a journey together. So instead of bitterness and doubt, the response was, oh, okay, that sounds like fun. I just wanted to know. We practice Advent because the night is stormy and our knuckles are white. And we need to be brought out of our dull numbness and our narrow vision. Christ is coming. Do you see what he sees? So I invite you to consider, how is God inviting us to gather? How is Christ keeping us awake on our journey together? And how is the Holy Spirit challenging you to strive for our final destination. Recalling the desire of God to gather us in peace with justice, please repeat after me. Be still and know that I am God.
Be still and know that I am.
Be still and know that I am. Be still and know.
Be still.
Be.